Thank you and be seated, please. What a joy it is to welcome you to Conyers First. Just want to take a minute to connect with you today. In your worship folder is a white connection card because we're all about making connections in this community of faith. What I love about serving this church now for more than 5 years is that we do not share as our common bond what we are or what we do or where we live or what we drive. I can say that honestly. We share the common bond of whose we are, for we belong to the risen Lord, and you belong with us, and I'm delighted you're here. If you take a minute to fill out the front of the connection card, especially if you're a guest, we simply want to know your name. Now, I promise you, nobody's going to show up on your door this afternoon with a pledge card. Nobody's going to ring your doorbell and say, turn or burn. We simply want you to know that this is a place where you can grow and be valued as a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful for this happening music, aren't you, this morning? I mean, that was some rhythm we were experiencing today. My prayer is that the rhythm of the Holy Spirit of God will give you today and every day a reason to get up and sing. So let's practice that now, shall we? Let's rise to our feet again as we immerse ourselves in the presence of the risen Lord. Father, we gather this day because we want to learn what it means to fully surrender to you and to give our hearts to you. Over these last few weeks, we've been learning about how good you are and your character to provide for us and that we can count on you. But Lord, can you count on us? We come today because we want to be aware of who you are. We want to sense and feel and experience the power of your risen presence in us. Because, Lord, we're tired of living lives that are beneath our dignity and your calling. We're tired of just taking up time. We want to give ourselves in a way that really matters. So this morning, great God, would you make us aware of your presence? Would you give us a passion for those who are in need? Would you use our gifts to lift those who are fallen and help heal those who are broken and give hope to those who are in despair? God, would you use this church to feed those who are hungry and to give instruction to those who really want to know what it's like to live a life free from addiction, free from abuse, free from the pain of life? God, we think today how blessed we are, and we want our voices, our lives, our very spirits to be part of your answer to a world in need. God, we look around us and we ask that you would give special strength to our missionary men and women in this community and around the world, and especially those who are part of our great church. God, we do not take the freedom of this holiday weekend for granted. And many of us will have a day off tomorrow and time with family. So we remember in a special way those in the United States military who are deployed in faraway places. They'll not be taking a day off tomorrow. They'll be standing in harm's way for the values of the United States. God, we just want to say thank you for your amazing grace and goodness. And now pray, Lord, that you would open our minds and our hearts. Then open our hands and move our feet that we might be your people. Because we want to be united together, because we want to confess that Christ is Savior, we join our voices to pray as Jesus himself taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to be seated. And as you're seated, to prepare your morning offering. So much good happens in and through this church because of the faithfulness of men and women whose lives have been changed. Giving not because we have to, giving not because we're supposed to, giving not only to honor the Lord, but giving because our hearts have been set free to want to be a blessing in the lives of others. Our ushers are coming forward with offering baskets this morning. And as they pass them along, I pray that you'll see the baskets as the hands of Christ, wanting to do even greater things in this community and beyond. And with your help, He will. This morning I'm beginning my autumn teaching series, which I've entitled The Ultimate Mental Makeover. I wonder, would anybody here be honest enough to say, I suffer from stinking thinking? Wow, boy, did I get a response today. I'm impressed with the number of times in the Word of God that God links our thinking process with the person that we are, and how incredibly important it is to give some time and energy in thinking about our thinking. So for the next few weeks, we're going to be thinking about our thinking. And this morning, I want to set the stage for this series from the book of Romans, chapter 12. I hope you brought your Bibles this morning. If you didn't, we have Bibles that you could borrow. In fact, if you'd lift your hand and you'd like to have a Bible, we'll have one of our ushers bring it to you. But I'd like for you to turn with me to Romans, chapter 12. The first two verses set the stage for this series. St. Paul, the great theologian of the New Testament, St. Paul, one who offers such words of practical instruction and encouragement for the Christian life, says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a holy and living sacrifice, the kind He will accept." Then he pauses to ask a question. When you think of what He has done for you, is this too much to ask? Verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. How? By changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. I'd like for you to take a minute and underline Romans 12, 2. And I particularly like the New Living Translation. Let God change you, transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Dr. H. Norman Wright is a best-selling author, a licensed marriage, family, and child therapist, and one who has spent a great deal of time studying trauma in people's lives. Not so much the physical trauma, say, perhaps of an accident, but the emotional trauma of life's gut-punching moments. He has an excellent book that is going to be the foundation of this series, simply entitled, A Better Way to Think. And I'd like to share with you these thoughts from Dr. Wright's excellent book. Dr. Wright writes, "I've met only a few people in my life who don't want to change." Are you married to him or her? There are only a few. Most really do. They can envision the process they want, the progress they want to make. Their intentions are good, but there's a nagging reason that keeps many of us from moving ahead in life. It's our thoughts. Those seemingly insignificant sentences that pass through our mind, greatly influencing everything we say and do. From our thoughts, we hear messages that can propel us toward great accomplishments and positive change, or drag us into a negative spiral. I wonder, do you struggle with your thoughts? Thoughts of worry, insecurity, frustration, even anger? May I confess, I do. In fact, we all do. For many of us, these thoughts that continually run through our minds are more adversary than ally. Left unchecked, our thought life can become my own worst enemy, poisoning me from within. For so many individuals and couples I've counseled, writes Dr. Wright, their difficulties can be traced back to one root problem, the ideas they repeat to themselves, their so-called self-talk. Truth be told, most of us have a bent toward negative or toxic thinking. Does that connect with you? Most of us have a bent. We certainly have the capacity for negative or toxic thinking. And for some of us, the mind is a downright dangerous place, a battlefield fraught with landmines and hidden enemies poised for ambush. Our self-talk is attacking us from within. But it doesn't have to be that way. You can change your thoughts. And when you learn to control your self-talk, you'll be on your way to changing your life and improving your relationships. Dr. Wright takes the time in this excellent book to look at many of the passages in the Word of God that speak to our thinking as it relates to our spiritual life, our relationship life, the very capacity with which we look at life. For instance, these passages. Proverbs chapter 23. King Solomon, the wisest man on earth, wrote, "For as a man or woman thinks in his heart," guess what? "So he is, so she becomes." The Lord Jesus himself in Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says, "Good people bring good things out of the good stored up in their hearts, and evil people bring evil things out of the evil stored in their heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." Now, of course, St. Paul is speaking philosophically. He's not literally meaning this incredible machine called the heart, but the heart in terms of the seat, classically speaking, of one's will, one's emotions, one's self-understanding. We speak out of what we have stored, the thoughts that we have stored in our hearts. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, St. Paul writes, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And the God of peace will be with you." St. Paul goes so far to say that our mind is so critical in our spiritual life that in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, he says, "In your relationships with other people, have the same attitude of mind that Christ Jesus had." And I've discovered in my own life and in observing the lives of others that our thinking really does make a difference. In fact, I would be so bold to say that you can think yourself healthy. You can think yourself successful. You can think yourself out of worry and anxiety. You can think yourself out of bitterness and resentment. You can think yourself into forgiving. You can think yourself in control of your emotions. You can think yourself out of stress. You can think yourself happy. But Paul in Romans 12 says it's more than just positive thinking. It's allowing, inviting, longing for the risen Lord to transform, reprogram our thinking that we might think His way. I've always been impressed with the concept of psychosomatics. Psycho, the Greek word psyche, meaning our emotions. and soma, the Greek word for the body. In other words, how our emotions, how our thinking affects us physically. Some time ago, I ran across a book by Dr. Carolyn Leaf. She is a communications pathologist at the University of Pretoria in South Africa. And in her 2008 book entitled, Who Switched Off My Brain? By the way, I don't know the answer to that, but it's going around. Who Switched Off My Brain? Controlling Toxic Thoughts and Emotions. She makes this bold research statement. Research shows that around 87% of illness can be attributed to our thought life. Wow. And approximately 13% to diet, genetics, and environment. Studies conclusively link more chronic diseases, also known as lifestyle diseases, to an epidemic of toxic emotions in our culture. Hey, we're in the campaign season. That's the very definition of toxic emotions. These toxic emotions can cause migraines, hypertension, strokes, cancer, skin problems, diabetes, infections, and allergies, just to name a few. Wow! Do you think it's true? And yet we spend a disproportionate amount of time working on the 13% corollary. Our physical health. We're all trying to lose weight. We're all trying to exercise more. We're all trying to eat better. But as a whole, are we better people for that? Dr. Leaf suggests perhaps we need to focus more on the 87% of the equation and get real about our toxic thought process, the toxic emotions that we are allowing to define us and come out of us in the most unhealthy kinds of way. I'm talking about stinking thinking and the way it affects us. Some time ago, when The Iron Lady came out as the movie remembering the life of Lady Margaret Thatcher, a movie that was not particularly well received in Great Britain because it tells the story from a state, her struggling state of dementia. And yet I find it to be a compelling account of one of the 20th century's greatest of all leaders. This quote is attributed to Lady Thatcher in the movie. I had forgotten this quote, but it continues to live with me. In The Iron Lady, Lady Thatcher says, "Watch your thoughts, for they become words. Watch your words, for they become actions. Watch your actions, for they become habits. Watch your habits, for they become character. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny." Is she right? Is there that much power in our thought life? Well, apparently God thinks so. And apparently the great authors of the Bible were inspired to tell us that it's time to address our stinking thinking. Here's the big idea that I want to ask of you today. How is your thought life affecting your behavior? The way you interact with other people? The way you see life as a glass half empty or a glass half full. The way you relate to yourself, your own sense of self-image, self-worth. How is your thought life affecting who you are? How is your thought life psychosomatically changing you, for the better, or, I fear to say, for the worse. Maybe you know somebody that's struggling with their thought life. They've allowed themselves to be cursed by stinking thinking, and it's affecting everything around them. I'd like to invite you to bring them back to Conyers First starting next Sunday, because we're going to take a number of weeks to explore biblically and psychologically what it means to think. Next week, we're going to begin with Brain Chemistry 101. And the electrical impulses that researchers tell us happen based on our thought process. I'd like to encourage you to perhaps pick up a copy of Dr. Wright's book, A Better Way to Think. And let this book occupy an important place in your library, but more than that, an important place in your spiritual life. My prayer is, over the next few weeks, we will live into the incredible promise of St. Paul. Let God transform you into a new person, a healed person, a whole person, a person that has a renewed sense for life, a renewed sense of hope, a renewed sense of drive by changing the way you think. And that's something to think about. Amen. We need strength for the spiritual journey. And I'm so glad you're here today when we can celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. And I'm so proud that I belong to a faith community that does not restrict access to the Lord's Supper. Simply to those who have a desire, a passion to be honest with God and taste and see how good He is. Every time we celebrate Holy Communion, at the fraction, the breaking of the bread, the highlight of the whole service of Holy Communion, recognizing the depths to which God went in becoming one of us to meet us where we are. I always quote from the prophecy of Isaiah. St. Peter picks up on that prophecy and relates the prophecy to Christ. Because in that prophecy, God inspired this great Old Testament prophet to write of the suffering servant. But He was wounded for our stuff, for our transgressions. He was bruised for our mistakes, our iniquities. The chastisement, literally the whipping, the spanking, the chastisement for our peace, the price for our peace. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes, by what He endured on the cross, by what He suffered lovingly and willingly for you and me, by His stripes, we are healed. As you come forward for Holy Communion this morning, I want you to bring with you your stinking thinking. The negative self-talk that continues to play in a loop in your mind. Something that's happened to you, something that's been said to you, an image of yourself that you've chosen to internalize. An attitude about the future, an attitude about your spouse, an attitude about your children, an attitude about your work. The toxic thinking, the toxic emotions of your life. And I'd like for you to pray with me that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, that toxic thinking can be healed. It won't happen immediately. But I'm believing over the weeks that we share together, God will begin by His goodness and grace to heal your toxic thinking and transform you into a new person. Amen. Your proper responses for Holy Communion will be displayed on the screen. Even though this is a contemporary service, I cannot bring myself to preside at the sacrament without the stole of ordination, because I'm real clear, my friends, I don't have anything to give you unless Jesus Christ is working through me to offer it to you. No price in my hand I bring. Simply to His cross I cling. Because of all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ, I can offer you this great invitation with great hope. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him and seek to grow into His likeness. Let us draw near with faith, make our humble confession, and prepare to receive this holy sacrament. As together we pray, we do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own goodness, but in your unfailing mercies. We are not worthy that you should receive us, but give your word and we shall be healed through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That is proof of God's love toward us. And so it's with great hope and great joy that I declare, you and I are forgiven people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And because we are His forgiven people, we can approach God differently, no longer cowering for fear of punishment, but running into His presence at His open invitation. And so I can say to you with great joy, the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. And let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a joyful and good thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. In love you made us for yourself, and when we had fallen into sin and became subject to evil and death, your love remained steadfast. You bid your faithful people cleanse their hearts and prepare for the journey of faith that, renewed by your word and sacraments and fervent in prayer and works of justice and mercy, we may come to the fullness of grace that you have prepared for all who love you. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent in the fullness of time to redeem the world. He emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in our likeness. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. He took upon himself our sin and death and offered himself a perfect sacrifice for the sin of the whole world. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ, offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them to be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Hallelujah. St. Paul said, Christ, our Passover lamb, the one who enables us to pass over from death to life, Christ, our Passover lamb, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Let us enter into the feast. Let us willingly celebrate the feast. Hallelujah. For the prophet Isaiah has promised that he was wounded for your transgressions. He was wounded for your iniquities. The punishment, the price for your peace was upon him, so that by his stripes you may be healed. Somebody say amen to that. So that you may be healed. In a moment, I'm going to invite you to receive Holy Communion by coming down the center aisle. You may fill in this way. Receive just a little dollop of hand sanitizer, because we do dip out of a common cup together. Then, with hands open in the posture of a seeking disciple, receive an unleavened wafer. Remember, it was the unleavened bread used at the Passover celebration in the Old Testament. And ever so gently dip it into the chalice, allowing these two holy tokens to commingle together. Then receive them with joy. As you move back to your seats, you'll notice two skirted tables on either side with a basket. Remember last week, I told you about our Good Samaritan ministry. And every month you give, this church gives more than $1,000 a month that we use for direct assistance for people in Conyers and Rockdale County who are truly, 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 T-R-U-L-E-E, truly in need, as you have received from the Lord and found hope and healing in him. Would you help make it possible for someone else to find hope? Kristen Crawford is coming. She's our magnificent youth minister to assist in serving Holy Communion. And I'm going to ask Robin Payne to come as well to be the one to help give the hand sanitizer. Robin, are you? Or, excuse me. Robin, in other form, is known as Tony Kilichek. And Tony, I offer it I offer it to you. I invite you to come now to the table of the Lord. All is prepared for you. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As we conclude our service this morning, I'd like to invite you to find again the white connection card in your worship folder, because on the back side is an opportunity for you to respond to the Word of God today. First of all, I hope that you will underline and mark in your Bibles and begin to memorize Romans 12:2. And again, I like the New Living Translation. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Think about that this week. An opportunity for you to indicate a desire to unite with our church. I would be proud to serve as your pastor and have you join this eclectic, mission-minded community of faith in Old Town Conyers. Maybe you're honestly questioning your own relationship with the Lord, and you're not sure if you are saved. You're not sure if you have had a born-again experience. There is no conversation that I could have with you that would mean any more to me than to help you know for sure that you are in the Father's hands, that your sins are forgiven through the blood of the cross, and that you are feeling the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit of God. The bottom of the card is an opportunity for you to share your heart with me. I pray for you by name and by need on Tuesday. Maybe you'd like to share with me where you're struggling with stinking thinking. And I'll pray with and for you this week. Take just a moment to complete your card, if you will. Fold it over, and then after the service is over, leave it with an usher as you depart from the Student Center. So appreciate the sensitivity and the heart that goes into selecting music for worship. And I'm really, really caught by this lyric we just sang. Lord, can you overcome a heart that is overcome? Can you overcome a heart that's been overcome by disappointment or by brokenness or by anger? Can you overcome what has overcome me? And I believe all of heaven and earth resoundingly says, yes, he can. I invite you to rise for the benediction, God's good word for your life, and the seal and the sign of our sure salvation, the cross of Jesus Christ. And now, as always, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, his healing and approving smile, and best yet, give you peace, perfect peace, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen and good morning.